KXRN LP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach. Member supported KX93.5.
Good morning, Laguna Beach. This is Craig on Rainbow Radio. I have some fantastic guests here this morning, and we're going to ask them each to say a quick hello, and I'll get some introductions in a minute. But first, say hello, Lisa.
Good morning, Laguna.
Say hello, George.
Hello.
And Tom.
Hello from North Laguna.
And Kathy.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. We're going to get to some what this is all about. It's our art consortia group that I've kind of put together, and these people have so graciously agreed to share their time here this morning, and we'll get into that in just a second. First of all, it is all about Rainbow Radio. Good morning, Lucas. Hey, Stacy, say good morning.
Good morning, Laguna Beach. Over the rainbow, way up high, and the dreams that you dream of once in a lullaby. Fly, oh, somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly. And the dream that you dream of, dream really do come true.
Morning again. I'm going to quickly give a little bit of the news. I want to first of all thank our sponsor for Rainbow Radio again. That's Michael Johnson and Compass Real Estate. Thank you for being our sponsor again. Yet another week. We love you. And if you have, anyone has any need to do real estate, please get a hold of Michael at Compass Realty. Today, I want to explain a couple of things. First of all, it was about 4 months ago, maybe 5 months ago, I went to a couple meetings in the city with regard to city planning and things going on with regard to the arts. And there were very few people there that were there that I felt represented the artists. And in fact, what was going on in those meetings and those planning appeared to me to be vitally important to the community. And so the artists that I met there were Michael McGrinch, someone called him that. I don't know. Michael, I love you if you're listening. Anyway, he put me up to a lot of this. And so I started an independent art consortia, hopefully that I could use this format, this radio station. And I do write for Stu News. I write a weekly article in Stu News. Use both of those to try and maybe develop some more dialogue with regard to art and how important it is to the community of Laguna Beach. I subsequently went to another meeting, and I counted, we have 22,000 people in the city, and this was one that was to decide where one of the entrances into Laguna Beach would have some art displays, and I believe it's in the canyon. Do you know, Lisa, where it is?
Oh, where the city council meeting is for the arts? That's at City Hall.
No, I know, but I mean, not the actual installation. They were going to do
village entrance right across from the Festival of Arts.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And they have some grand plans for that. So, but even in that meeting, when it's talking about art and representing art to the greater world at Laguna Beach, there were only 15 people there. And I thought, of 22,000, I'm thinking, and of the 15, I could only, myself, I'm not know-it-all, but I could only identify two artists there. So I felt that I don't know what the disconnect is. Maybe artists just by nature are not engaging in what goes on in the community. But from that, I see a lot of artists that want to support this idea. So I don't know what's true. And I'm kind of on a journey to sort it out and try and see if we can't give more of a voice to artists and more of a contribution to the greater community of Laguna Beach. So that's kind of how this started. We did do I hate to do this, but this is the kind of the mantra of the Independent Art Consortia, is an ad hoc group based from Laguna Beach for the greater coastal community. The consortia has a common interest in preserving and enriching the organic element of the arts for everyone to enjoy. And arts is theater, it's every kind of arts, whether it's photography, whether it's oils, and or whether it's pastels or watercolors, whether it's sculpture, whatever it is. So it's inclusive. Once a month, we have our town hall on Rainbow Radio program on KX93, and the participants represent artists, galleries, and community leaders for a robust, candid exchange. And here we are. So with having said that, I think it's time we introduce our guests this morning. And the first one, I'm going to kind of go, Kathy, can we start with you? Some bit about your
yes.
background. I know you're from Laguna Beach. I did have some notes here that says, Kathy, what's it say? It says, born and raised in L.A., now here as an artist with her artist studio in Laguna Beach.
Yeah, I grew up in L.A., and I got my B.A. in fine art in UCSB, and then I continued my art education at UCLA.
Okay.
And also at Parsons. And when I was young at that time, I didn't know how to make any money off of art. There was no business classes in my art. You know, education.
That's a problem I've heard before.
It's a very big problem.
Even from Jonathan Burke when he was here, that there was no classes to, okay.
Yeah,
sorry
and I wish I had been told, hey, take an accounting class, take a business class, take a marketing class.
Right.
Because as a young artist, you don't know how to sell yourself. You're shy to sell yourself. Mm-hmm. So I decided, well, I'm going to start doing murals. And faux finishing, which was very, very popular in the 90s. And I just kind of went door to door to designers and got picked up. And
here you are.
And here I am after having kids, realizing that I didn't want to paint for clients anymore. I didn't want to paint their ideas. I wanted to still be the fine artist that I
am.
That's
the best part of it, I think, being able to do your special
exactly.
own inner
spirit. And so, you know, in the beginning, it was hard to make money on it, but then as I realized, talking to other artists who've exceeded, just like, okay, I'm going to follow their footsteps and do what I need to do. So here I am in Laguna, and I've been in my studio here for almost 11 years.
Thank you, Kathy. Next, on the lineup here, we have Tom. He's another local artist. This makes his home in Laguna Beach. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Tom. Your type of art is a bit different than perhaps the rest of the people here.
Well, good morning. I'm a photographer, so I guess that makes me different just by nature, right?
Your tools.
Yeah, I was born in New York City. I went to the Rhode Island School of Design for graduate work, studied in Colorado.
Oh, my.
And taught for many years. But I've lived in Laguna now. I call it lived here longer than anywhere else. It's been maybe almost 38,
you're almost a
38
native.
Years. No, never be a native, but been here a long time. Moved into North Laguna and never left. So it's been just perfect. I can sit in bed and watch the whales go by. How can you go wrong?
Quality of life is right up there, huh?
Yeah.
So. Thank you, Tom. I'm going to go over to George next. Someone said we have a very heady group of artists here on the panel, and they've been sending me messages, and they said, Craig, you better be on your best behavior. And so I look at George, I'll be on my best behavior.
You don't have to with me. Because I won't be.
Oh, good. I appreciate that.
Well, let's see. What do you want me to
tell
you?
Well, I have that you're a resident of Laguna Beach since 1976, so.
That's true, yeah. So I grew up in Oregon, actually, but lived overseas a couple of years, London and Switzerland. Got into ceramics, actually, in high school. That was what saved me from being
Other
bored
vices?
To death.
Oh.
By Corona Del Mar High School. My parents were both teachers at UCI, so that's what brought me to Southern California. And I moved to Laguna in 76 because this is where the art thing was happening, and I've been here ever since.
Wow.
But I've seen a lot of things diminish over the years, too, so maybe that's why I'm here today. So.
Well, I appreciate that you're sharing your time with us. I think if this broadcast can be saved and used and listened and shared is my hope, that we can get some good dialogue here that perhaps some other key people will listen to. That would be great. So I appreciate you being here. Lisa is kind of the one who got this whole thing started for this show, And I appreciate it. I was laughing. You've done all my work for me. So, but anyway, Lisa, I have, what are the notes that I have here? I have raised in Laguna Beach and recently relocated back to Laguna Beach from Los Angeles. So you survived Los Angeles.
I did. So I grew up here in Laguna Beach. I went to Aliso Elementary. So I was here from 72 to 85. I think I'm really the only real true local Laguna in. I was in Los Angeles for almost 25 years, and I had a gallery up there called Sculpture to Wear.
Okay.
And digressing just very quickly, my love of the arts was first cultivated here in Laguna Beach because, of course, we grew up here.
Did you hear that, Stacey?
It was an artist community. Cultivated, yes?
Yeah, in Laguna Beach.
Correct, correct. And so my schooling, I went to FITM for marketing and design. I also went to Otis for also design. And I have a degree in plastics technology, which is adds to my manufacturing capabilities.
Oh, wow.
So I'm happy to be here, and I'm so happy that this is a really dynamic panel. So I'm excited to get into the real, nitty-gritty of arts in Laguna.
Well, thank you. And I want to again thank everyone for being here this morning. I think maybe a start point for everyone is to kind of talk about some of the prior shows to kind of give us some, I guess, perspective and thought. We got together with, I think it was Leah Vasquez, and I can't remember all the other, there were a large panel, including a gallery. And one of the things we thought that to help artists and then was to do something to make them more visible, to allow them to have more visibility. And I've been before a couple city council member meetings and involved, and I don't know if it was with former Mayor Tony Eisman, but I understood that everyone was keen to see some of these vacant storefronts, and there's so many of them with art in it. So we thought maybe this was one button we could push that would bring the cause of art together to the forefront. And then there, once we stepped forward with that, and Jonathan Burke and it, we were all here for that meeting, it became apparent again that we're trying to do something for the artists, and we don't need to do something for the artists. The artists need to speak for themselves and do what's important for them. So that's my feeling, and I think that's, here today is a good example. We have artists here that want to speak for themselves and represent their feelings. So with that, I'll open it up. I get George looking over there like he has something percolating that he'd like to talk.
I was just going to say part of the problem is we need to get rid of some of the city council members. That's step one.
Okay. I asked the station manager, I said, you know, I have some very controversial subjects. He says, you just play the center and you have the people say whatever they want to say. So please say whatever you feel. I mean, I have some personal observations myself. I may share them later, but yeah, no, so go on. What brings you to that juncture?
Well, you know, I've been involved a little bit politically in Lagunas for a long time, and I go to a lot of meetings as well when it has something to do with the arts. And I find that the majority of the council members, who also, by the way, appoint the arts commissioners, have no clue about art. And when you try to challenge them or ask them, like, you know, what are your world views? What are your views on art? It's the response I get mostly is, well, I don't know that much about it, you know. And when it comes to, you know, art in Laguna and the Arts Commission, you know, who is appointed by the city council, you know, if you don't like what's going on via the Arts Commission or some of the decisions they make in terms of public art or whatever, you really have to look at the city council because they're the ones who appoint them. So I think when you talk about generating an environment for art and artists in Laguna, you have to start with the city council because they're really the ones who are running the show.
It reminds me of a Harley Davidson motto, I guess. If I have to explain, you won't understand. And so it's like you have to be an artist, like what you're saying, to speak a bit, to speak the language and understand the culture of what it's about to really facilitate.
Well, and I think a lot of the artists who have been here over the years are gone because they either get frustrated or they can't afford to live here, or there's really no venue for them to show their work, especially if they're doing something that's got a little bit of an edge to it, since we live in a kind of a bubble when it comes to art here in Laguna.
Lisa, you look like you had some comments to follow up on George's.
Oh, I definitely do. I was asked to consider being part of the Arts Council 2 years ago. Back 3 years ago. And I've been on many boards, including Board of Governors at Otis, et cetera. So I said, let me attend three of the arts meetings before I make any type of decision. And I was extremely saddened to see the first meeting I attended. There were three people in the audience, including myself. The next meeting, there were five. And the next meeting, there were eight. And finally, the council said, wow, we have a larger audience. Let's turn on our microphones.
Oh, my.
And that really saddened me. And I thought, you know, this is maybe an uphill battle that I can't conquer by myself.
Well, let me ask the question. Why do you suppose there's such a low interest, low attendance to the meetings? Because that's my observation as well.
Perhaps it's the interaction with the council or therefore the lack of. That's one of the issues. But I think it also continues with the lack of engagement that I have seen since I've been back here in Laguna Beach. For example, at the Tony DeLapp opening at the museum, I did not attend the VIP opening. I was at the regular opening where any member could attend. Mm-hmm. And I think I counted maybe five artists that I recognized from Laguna Beach. There's just not a lot of interaction and engagement. And as Kathy was mentioning before, art is about selling yourself. It's about selling, you know, it's about visibility. Engaging with the connoisseurs, engaging with the collectors, engaging with your community. I think that's part of the issue as well.
So I'm kind of the observer outside looking in, and to me it seems like it might be unrealistic to have the entire city council understand the culture of art, but it might be realistic to expect that the culture and art director would and could communicate on a level to the city council as an agent for them what's important or what is the consensus and what is the support in the community. And I'm gathering that is not something there that's happening to the degree that, Tom?
Well, I'm going to take a little different spin on this thing.
Okay.
Because I think in this town we have, you know, sort of the big three, maybe the big four. Kind of we have the Laguna College of Art and Design.
Yes.
You have the Festival of Arts, the Pageant of the Masters, and you have the Laguna Art Museum. And then you, of course, have the Sawdust on the side, the Art Affair, I mean, it's Sawdust Fairs. But I really consider the college to be a place that's getting students educated. Young people are coming to this town. They may not be able to afford to stay here, but as we look at other types of housing, maybe they can. I mean, many of us who went to art colleges ended up living in those places because we loved them.
I think Jonathan at Burke, I think, is very sensitive to that. And when he was here, I think he feels that, like you're saying, it's a part of it, and he wants to do what he can to facilitate it and just be creative.
I mean,
and that's great.
You know, the festival spent over $14 million of their own money to revamp their grounds because it was tired, it was old, it's on city property. When they built it, it's now city property. I mean,
how come we can't use it for other things?
You can use it for anything you want.
Yeah, well.
How much does it cost?
It's cheap for the city of Laguna.
Really?
Yeah, it is cheap. I mean, go look at, you know, look what you're getting and what you pay. I mean, it's not that much and the things are low. But I mean, I've been getting very involved. I've been on the board of the festival for 7 years trying to push these things uphill. You know, we have a board that's, you know, really proactive. We're looking, you know, to change a lot of things. But in that place alone, you have to put an A in art. And we've expanded the art eligibility to Santa Ana, to North County, to places where there's a lot of art going on. But you got to get those people to enter and apply.
Okay.
Those places can only show the work of people that apply. For a long time, it's like cottage art. I mean, it's not great. I mean, a few of us are trying to push that envelope, and all you can do is that. I think the museum with the Tony DeLapp show, with other things, with Malcolm Steerage, we've done some great shows there, and it's really marvelous. But we have, you know, the Gerald Buck collection, one of the finest collections in North America, sitting in Laguna Beach, and I bet a handful of people have ever seen this collection.
Can
now it's owned by the university.
And the last word with Kathy, but there'll be many more words.
When I moved here to Laguna, there was one gallery, the Diane Nielsen Gallery, which hit, I just resonated with that gallery because it was contemporary. It was a lot like what I was painting. And that's when I discovered Chris Gwaltney. And then Peter Blake came in, and then Diane left. And I was like, well, where do I go to see art? Art that I liked, not, you know, and yeah, I appreciate
Los Angeles.
Exactly. And that's why someone said, well, why don't you show in Laguna? I said, because I can't. It's not my venue. People don't understand what I do here. You know, LA people understand.
You think perhaps that's lost and it's too far to bring back?
I don't think it's too far because now we have Sue Greenwood here. Joanne Artman came in. Those are, I think they're great galleries. Salt Fine Art, I love her. They're finally bringing in some new aesthetic. Yeah. And there's hope. But again, they're also established galleries, so it's hard for an emerging artist to get in there.
Well, they're pretty middle of the road, you got to admit, though. They're not doing anything all that edgy.
Not edgy, but edgier than what there was.
I know, but they're still catering to, you know, the tourist population of this town and the people who are decorating their homes.
Decorative, yeah.
I want to speak to that raw culture that I think put Laguna Beach on the map. And when I went to a couple of these meetings, I felt that there were some, AIA, that is the organization that's been hired $70,000 by the city to do a study to see what Laguna Beach could do to make it a more viable destination, part of the community, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I propose that perhaps the secret or the power of the art in Laguna Beach was the new and a new is to give a voice to the artists that can't afford to get their art out there. And I went back to that. Well, I went back to some statistics with Ashland, Oregon. They have the Shakespearean Festival. Now they've got such a notoriety that if you're a thespian and you want to get into that industry and it's difficult, if you get on your resume that you were an actor or actress in the Shakespearean Festival in Ashland, Oregon, it's credible and it really helps. And I talked about the budget they have and the theater they have and the tourism and all the culture things that are up there. And there's some very similar situations here with the art arts festival and what Laguna Beach. But there's one component I felt that is missing. In Ashland, Oregon, there's always a new evolving artists that are coming in. They may not stay long, but that's what keeps that energy exciting. That's what keeps people engaged in that community. And I think here that there should be some facilitation, my own personal, where if, say you're an artist and you're brilliant, maybe the next Da Vinci or any kind of artist out there, okay? Gauguin. But you don't have a space. It seems that there should be some method to bring that here, because that is what, I mean, it should go, oh, I went and studied art in Laguna Beach instead of Paris this year because they've got this great, you know, Paris has got all the light, right? You know, or France. What? Where is it? You go to Paris to study art. That's what my mother told me. Because
so
of the light.
A space.
So I'm saying,
are you talking about Paris, California?
No, I don't think
artists
so.
Artists in residence. Is that what
anyway? I'm probably stepping way, way out of my league to say this, but I felt like a good one component in this community is that there needs to be a thriving culture of artists and expression and unfettered art, like you said, George. Where I went up to Huntington or Newport Beach and Newport Center, and they had a show. An art show there, and it was not curated. It was not vetted. It was.
That was the Huntington.
It was Huntington?
Huntington, yes. Art Center.
Center, yeah. And it was packed. There were probably 300, 400 pieces of art there, and some were not what I was interested in at all. But I would say out of those 300 pieces, there was probably a half dozen or maybe 10 that spoke to me. And it was worth the trip just from that. And it was worth the trip to see the energy and the excitement of these artists all being so thrilled to be able to have a place to display their art. And again, it was all kinds of art. So that's my food for thought, if anyone wants to step in on it.
Well, going back to what you were saying about having an artist saying, oh, he studied in Laguna Beach or showed in Laguna Beach, I think it would be a great opportunity to gather spaces in Laguna Beach where that person can reside and use it as a marketing tool for Laguna Beach. There's also another opportunity where maybe artists or people can market to the hotels and who then market to people on, I don't know, Airbnb or whatever, and saying, hey, if you stay at this hotel, it's an art package. You can go visit this person, that person, and this person. You get dinner at Montage or whatever.
Or the Chamber. Visit Laguna has really been supportive of another effort we have, to have a walking tour.
A walking tour, yeah. Of,
you know, and that's narrated. And
it needs to be upscaled.
A walking tour of what?
Upscale, you know, like where you're maybe invited into collectors' homes. It's not just a walking, because I know there's a walking tour of Laguna Beach, and, you know, there's maybe 12 people, and she's like, oh, the history of this, history of that, and it's all nice and all, but it's not like an education where people would do it not just to spend some Saturday time. They would do it to educate themselves in the art that exists in Laguna Beach already, but it's not visible to anybody because we're not showing.
But what I saw was that there's all these groups of all these great little ideas. There's tons of great little ideas, whether it's storefront, whether it's these little marketing things, but there's no big picture idea. And that's what I'd like to get back to. And I think we were headed that direction a little bit ago with what is it in particular that doesn't get this, that is a miscommunication with perhaps artists and the community, and what can be done to facilitate it.
One thing I'd like to add in regards to what Kathy was touching base on is that when I was in Santa Monica, I had my gallery at Bergamot Station, and then I moved to Montana Avenue. And then I became vice chair of the Montana Avenue Merchants Association. And Santa Monica is very similar, the same challenges that we have here in Laguna Beach with tourism, a lot of different socioeconomic issues. And we were actually able to begin to work with the city council and brought in realtors, real estate property owners, and we had a game plan, and they were in it, and they said, we want to be committed to keeping these one-of-a-kind stores here. We don't want mass merchants. And there were people that either reduced their rents or said, we will commit to not increase the rents for another 3-4 years. So there was really an engagement with city council, the merchants, and the property owners. And we need to do something like that in Laguna Beach. If I see one more nail salon, I don't even think we have that many hands in Laguna Beach. It's crazy.
Well, I think we need some committed people as a group. I volunteer being one of them, and I would love to work with Lisa because she's just a go-getter. But it's the commitment.
Well, I feel so rejected.
Sorry, George, we just met. It's the commitment saying, hey, this group, here's the goal, let's go do it. Instead of just, oh, talking to artists and getting feedback, it's really a group of people that have to get together and be on top of it.
As long as you know what the end game is. What are you trying to achieve? Because, you know, the demographics of Laguna has changed so much that, you know, it's not an artist community anymore, and it hasn't been for a long time.
I don't think it ever will be.
It's an expensive bedroom community, and when you talk about disengagement of the community, it's because people move here to have a view and have their house on the hill, and they're not, you know, like a good example is the membership at the museum, our local museum. It's under 1,000.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's ridiculous. Wow. You know, so. You know, when you talk about community support for the arts, it's you know, sorry, Tom, but I always use the new facade at the festival as a good metaphor for what Laguna Beach is, which is, it's a nice facade, but there's not much behind it in the way of the arts. So
I think the question is, can we have an artist, can Laguna Beach be an artist community again, or is it now evolving into it should be an artist destination, not an artist destination, but a destination to go see very good art. You can't have both. Artists always popularize an area because they can afford it, they can work there. Then they make it all hip. Then all the rich people come in and they buy up the houses and the artists have to move out. You know, Silver Lake right now is up and coming. They have a great art, you know, going on, and it's very hip. A lot of collectors know to go there now.
Well, one of the other issues is the art needs to stand on its own merit, whether it's being presented in Paris, Los Angeles, New York, Compton, or Laguna Beach. Because if you say, buy my art just because you're in Laguna Beach, it then becomes relegated to souvenir art. And that's, I think, the antithesis of what we're right. looking to accomplish.
So the question here, I think, is it beyond pulling it back? And if it's not, what is there some, I know, method to bring it back to what it was? I agree, Lisa, completely. The art has to be art that stands on its own. But it has to attract those kind of artists in a way, too. So if there's some notoriety as a community that supports new and evolving art, whether it's performance art, which is real popular right now, which makes no sense why the theater downtown couldn't have a performance art festival. And I do feel that, you know, Michael McGrath said that two or three galleries closed recently in Laguna Beach. And
good.
Probably more.
So what are we going to get? A t-shirt shop? Do we need another t-shirt
nail
shop?
Salon.
Another nail salon?
Where you get another papered window.
Yeah.
You know, we're becoming a town of papered windows, you know.
So. Right. So I mean, galleries, the sad state of affairs we all know is that, and I think Kathy spoke to it a bit there, is that there has to be some income to support the arts, sadly. And there's comes the conflict between being an artist from your heart and being a bit of a commercial artist saying pay your bills. You all have to pay your bills. But somewhere in the middle there's got to be a common ground there that makes it work. And I do think, from my observation, that basic grassroots effort of the artist is not here anymore. I agree with George, and I don't know that it can be propped up or brought back, or if it can, how can that happen? I think Jonathan Burke could have some insight on that too, and would be supportive of trying to do something to bring it back. But
I think it has to start with at the top, which is the city council. And if the city council doesn't have the vision or the desire or the will to put their money where their mouth is in terms of trying to maintain, you know, Laguna Beach as an art colony, which, you know, that's been fading for a long time.
I completely agree. I think it has to, it won't work without that being part of it. I don't think. I don't know. How could you have a arts, Tom, look like you're ready to jump in here.
Well, I think that, I think you can put blame wherever we want to have it, but I think artists have to give back. I think, you know, a lot of us work in our studios and you know, we exhibit all over the world. We travel a lot. We have to say, okay, occasionally we give back. We're here on this radio station to say, hey, you know, I think they were at a genesis. I think the city has woken up that the economic viability of art in this town generates a lot of money.
Right.
Maybe it's not all for great art or whatever, but there's a lot of economic coming in here. So realtors, other people start to do it. The editor of Laguna Beach Arts Patron magazine is out of town, but she saw a real hole in need and has a lot of great ideas for open storefronts and other things to put art in. And she's working in Palm Springs heavily, and they're totally embracing every idea.
Wow.
But having her come here with some of those same ideas is great. There's some gallery owners here that are trying to, you know, push stuff up and make it stick. What does it happen? I mean, Forest and Ocean Gallery has a home of La Papa. A lot of painters are coming there. Maybe it's here and there and trying other kinds of work. I think Salt Gallery is another example of bringing in work from South America. I mean, there's people are trying. I think we're at a place right now that we could explode and make this much more viable.
I think...
I like that. I like that a lot.
Hear, hear. As a parent of a young child who attends elementary school here, we do have, and it's an amazing engagement with the arts community. There are weekly, if not, well, there are monthly, if not weekly, arts classes in the elementary school. I volunteer there every time that there's a class. We just had Michael Obermeyer and, is it Jeff Sewell? They hosted all elementary schools in the junior high with plein air classes outside. They brought the paints. They had a show at 7 degrees. So there is that engagement, and I'm so
really good at this.
Happy that they are able to inspire this next generation of artists. So maybe there is, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel, but we are now charged with transitioning for them now, or we might close that gate or build that wall.
You know, on top of that, you know, the Boys and Girls Club just hired a new arts director that's challenging our younger students. Loca is in our schools. La Papa's bringing painters into our schools. I think educating that education. My kids aren't in elementary school, but they're talking about moving back. I mean, because, and I say, why do you want to move back here? And they say, well, because it's getting vital. It's getting interesting. So I think we're seeing a shift, but we're kind of caught in that backflow right now of like, what is all this stuff?
Plus, I can live for free at your house.
Lucky you.
We got four people here anxious to chime in a bit. I think Lisa. I think you had. Oh, okay, Kathy.
I think. Now I just lost my train of thought. Thanks so much. There are two types of art buyers. There are collectors, and then there are people who go into a gallery and are told about a piece of work. Actually, maybe there's three type of collectors, and then they buy it. And then there's the third type that buy art because their friends are buying it, and it's like a status thing. So when I see, I've experienced through other friends, and that's another reason why I'm not showing in Laguna Beach, but there's a lot of, they're selling art to make the gallery pay the rent. So sometimes I've heard that they've undercut the artist's commissions, not asking the artist's permission to sell it for a lesser price, or they're making deals with the clients. It's just they're running it as more of a business. And back in the day, galleries' main concern was to propel their artists to be great, to give them an up hand in their reputation. They want their artists to be, you know, in the galleries or in on auction houses. That's to their benefit. Like, this was my artist. But here, it's not like that anymore. Like, I've gotten calls from galleries saying, oh, we want your art in there. And I'm looking at what they're hanging, and I'm like, no, thank you.
Let's face it, most gallery owners are basically shopkeepers.
They're shopkeepers. They don't market for artists anymore. No. There's no...
And getting back to your point about who's buying art, I'd say 85% of people who buy art are simply decorating their homes with it. They're not collectors. They're not serious about art. They're just simply buying stuff that makes them happy when they come home from a long day at work.
And a lot of the collectors are going to these bigger art fairs like the LA Art Fair or Basel, and they go on the opening night so they can get first pick. These are the serious art collectors. And... you know, everyone else
so
is just there
let
for
me
show.
See if I understand. Your comment is more that the galleries are seeking what's more commercially sellable as opposed to what is more creatively artistic.
Well, if you look at, here's an example of that, is that if you look at the history of, say, the last 30 or 40 years at the Festival of Arts, there used to be a lot more edgier artists down there, and there was a lot of people who would come down from L.A. to look at that art specifically because they knew it was something interesting. But as the demographics of this area has changed, and the people coming to the art festival have changed, that the artists have changed too, and have catered more to, you know, the bus people who come down to go to the pageant or whatever. They create art that they know will appeal to a certain demographic versus doing art that's truly from, you know, their core or what they really want to do. So that's why. You know, and I think the whole city has done that. You know, you have, you know, maybe three galleries in town that show interesting work, and the rest of it's catering to the tourist population.
I think that a lot of gallery owners don't really know their artists either, or even the people that are working there. I challenge them to say, okay, talk about Kathy Madrigal. What's her mission? And I don't think they would be able to...
I mean, to me, selling art is knowing a great deal about the artist.
You have to. Yeah. In order to be a gallery owner, you have to know why that person paints, why they create, why is it their passion. But it's more like, oh, what does your house look like? What size is your wall? What colors are you looking for? Oh, sometimes they can throw in some little tidbits about the artist, or they're local or this or that. But it's they just want the sale.
If I may interject, as a gallery owner, my gallery Sculpture to Wear shows a little bit different genre of art. It's wearable art, whether it be textiles, jewelry, unfunctional costumes. But I tell people I'm an ambassador for wearable art, and they kind of highbrow me and think, well, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps me on my mission. I'm there to give the artists a voice and to represent them when they don't necessarily know how or they're not there. But again, their work has to stand on its own merit. But I think that, you know, the gallerists of it's a challenging obstacle because when they're faced with these high rents in Laguna Beach, I mean, LA is a little bit different. I mean, I'm not going to even get into that discussion. But when they're challenged with these high rents, they have to pay the rent. So it really comes back to full circle with city council, commissioners, working with the realtors, the property owners. What is our end goal here? And I think that that's something to be discussed further.
Yeah, you are. Hold on just a second. Tom, hold on, Michael. Tom wants to top in here for a second.
Yeah, I think it's about a question of being bold. I mean, I think the city council,
I want to yell and scream naked in the street.
You have to get up there and take a chance and be bold and do things. I mean, I think that, you know, some people are really trying and doing things. I think, you know, the Packards with the music and all the things that are really happening are great stuff happening, but who really knows about it half the time? The Playhouse is doing stuff, but who knows sometimes? And people say, well, we'd rather go to someplace else. I think we have to start putting a flag in the ground and saying this is where art is. And forget, get rid of all the old baggage that's like hung on to us and step out there.
Who's going to put the flag on the ground?
That's up to all of us as artists.
No, marketing.
You know, you hire a marketing firm and what do they say? Tell me everything about you. So marketing firms are great at telling who you are and branding who you are, but it's us as artists don't stand up and say, we're the artist and let's make this happen. And then you have to have, I mean, things aren't cheap. I mean, George was saying, what's it cost to be at the Festival of the Arts? Well, why doesn't the city then subsidize people that want to use the Festival of the Arts grounds? I mean, it's not the job of the festival to give away their property for free and have people destroy it, but it is up to the city or other people to say, we'll subsidize that great idea. I mean, Peter Blake and I talked a lot of times about having an international sculpture fair at the pageant. Why not?
Performance art. I just think it's a marriage of technology and various new art forms, and it's current and it's very popular, and it could put people on the map.
No. Michael, you should come and talk on the show one of these days.
I think you should be a guest.
Yeah. We only have a few minutes and say a lot.
So I think this is a worldwide problem of all artists, which I know from all my friends around the world. So the issue is why you need to have a patron and you need to have an artist. You need to have a buyer and you have the artist. But if you somebody has to want the art. And the question is, why do people don't want the art, and why are people not interested? Because of the iPhone or whatever, but then we have to adjust. We are the creatives. So I think it's all about the artists taking the power, but you know, they don't even want to come to those panels of Craig. I mean, we have a hard time to get these people to come. So the question is, what can we do that people see the real value of art? And not saying, oh, the city council doesn't have any. I don't blame the city council. I don't blame the city of Laguna. But I don't know who to blame, but it's not blaming. But people see a value in the arts, and not just saying art is valuable, because everybody says all art is valuable, and that they want it. I don't want to sell to somebody that doesn't want my art.
I think
I got to give some other people some chance to chime in here.
Go ahead.
Go ahead,
Lisa.
You
talk about the value of the art. That's so subjective. You know, I mean, I could sell a piece for $10,000, and then I could sell another piece for $24,000. The value of the art is what someone's going to pay for it. You know, that's what it is. You're actually buying the person who made it. It's the connection that you have with the art piece when you see it. That's what you're buying it for. So.
Well, I everything's said and done, and I agree. It's subjective, and everyone has their own personal emotional attachment to art. And if it speaks to that person and they have money and it maybe speaks to two or three people, then it probably sells for more than if it didn't speak to a few people.
But
and that's
also
the part of the
so
the,
much art out there.
Yeah.
It's
too many artists.
Too many artists out there.
So if all said and done, what is there that we could, I mean, is there one, I always like to go back, is there one simple button, one simple effort that could tip the scales, that could start a revolution, put the flag in the ground, so to speak? Is there one, I don't want to make it too simple, but it seems like there was one method that we could all strike upon very strongly, and if it's running in the street naked, to get everyone's attention, I don't know, but
I think the main thing to do is to bypass bureaucracies for one thing, and if you have a group of people who are interested in doing something that's got some edge, that's got some interest, that's going to be something that puts, you know, the town back on the map as a place that's got artists that are doing interesting things. You just have to. You have to bypass going to ask permission. You just have to go do it. And that's
kind of what I wanted to do with the storefronts, would just get a couple storefronts. They own it. It's their property. They can put any art they want to in there and put a nice logo up that it's brought to you by the independent artists. And it's outside the galleries. It's outside of city council. It's outside of everything. And that might be a method to get people to stir things up. But then, again, I've got some pushback that it's doing stuff for the artists. We need to involve the artists, and it needs to be an artist's mission from them. They need to have some ownership in it, not someone else doing something again for artists that gets watered down and gentrified and all that.
You got an idea? Yes, I do. It's again about that artist engagement, because artists in Laguna cannot just be engaged in the community of artists in Laguna. The community of art is global, and I mandate them, I'm asking them to go out and seek other ideas and to visit museums and to go to these interactive spaces. I mean, I have to tell you, so the first time I met Tom Lamb, the celebrated photographer sitting to my right, guess where it was? It was at the Los Angeles Art Show 3 years ago. I walked up, I had no idea who he was, went, wow, that's a cool Vovo. Look at these images, wow. And then it was a Laguna connection. But we met, we both reside in Laguna Beach, but we met in Los Angeles. And of course, I know George from Los Angeles. So it's about engaging with a larger community versus just staying here, I don't know, I guess complaining.
In the bubble.
In the bubble. So I have about 4 minutes left to this day, and I don't want to sign off without everyone feeling they have an opportunity to put maybe their comments together. Does anyone want to step forward first?
Go ahead, Tom.
Go ahead. Everyone's pointing to Tom here in the studio.
He's the adult in the room.
We have to have one.
The one with kids that are moving back home.
Right? Yeah. Can I move in?
That happens.
You know, I think that a lot of us do show work, you know, in Los Angeles and other places in the world. I think that that's important, but I think that makes us, you know, important here in this town. And I think that you can't just throw it open to that. I mean, a lot of younger artists, I mean, the college is doing mentorships. I think the idea of bringing people into your studios, helping them to show what's going on, doing stuff, it's a grassroots effort. But I think this town is ripe for it. I mean, it's kind of like looking for an identity. And I think we are right. I think some of these consultants are coming in and saying, you know, kind of stripping away the emperor's clothes and saying, hey, what's there? And,
oh, wow.
You know, I really think that they have some great ideas, but people say, oh, no, not in my backyard. Yeah. And it's just a question of where we go from next.
Anyone else ready to step in?
Well, again, you know, I agree with Tom, you know, that for the community to be vital, we have to also think about, you know, what is this place going to look like 10, 20 years from now? Is it still going to just be, you know, the artists are being used as a way to sell expensive real estate? You know, I go back to vision, you know, like where's the vision for, you know, what's down the road, and also what's going to be available for, like if a young artist goes, hey, I want to live in Laguna and study art or just make art mm-hmm. in Laguna Beach, where are they going to go? Can they afford a place to live? Is there enough studio spaces? No, none of that stuff exists. You know, so if you want to revitalize this place, we have to start thinking about what can we do in the next 10 or 20 years to make it a place that can bring young artists here and be doing vital work, because, you know, we're not all going to be around forever, you know, to try to carry that mantle.
Well, I think that's part of my point with Ashland. They every year they have a new group, theater troupe, and every year it brings a new audience and keeps it vital and alive and relevant. And that's what I feel artists, the art culture has to be.
Kathy? Wondering what happened with that art space in Laguna Canyon.
The Live Art.
Lewis's space. Project is going forward finally after 10 years of fighting.
Now, is it actually going to be affordable to artists, or are they going to be already kind of established to be able to afford the rent?
Well, it remains to be seen because of all the pushback from not only the city, but the neighborhood and everything else. You know, it's delayed the project so long that, of course, construction costs have gone up. But, you know, at least it's going to happen. It may not be ideal, but at least it's the first step forward to creating a community for artists to have studios.
How many spaces? My thought was, you know?
There's 28.
Wow. You know, and Art Space was a consultant the city brought in, and they looked at a lot of other places that could be built and that would be held at a low rent forever. It wasn't a commercially driven enterprise in that sense. And so what if you had a printmaking studio that had five residences, maybe one for the student manager, and the three were guest artists and something else,
right?
And it was subsidized. Awesome. Okay, boom, you're done.
Well, my thought was, there's a bunch of vacant, there's some vacant property down the canyon that the city owes. Go out and buy 25 tiny homes, hook them up to sewer and water, and there you have a colony.
No, so but one of the things we're missing is studio space.
I was about to do that. No, I actually put a bid in. And
really?
There were such problems with being in the canyon, the flood zone, the insurance, some of the trees are flammable, yada, yada, yada. And
well, maybe some of the 22,000 acres that's been identified as green space, maybe a couple, like 1% of that, which would be a couple acres, could be repurposed.
If they agree to repurpose it.
Yeah.
You have so many people who would push back on that idea. You have the Canyon Conservancy and all these people
who don't want
anything to ever change.
I'll call Harry.
Entity, you know, or some sort of corporation that purchases land for that usage.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, it can't be bought for a big.
You know, one organization here, we have this Arts Alliance that has pulled a lot of these groups together. Get them to speak up as a voice.
Yeah, we are really out of time. I'm going to give Lisa a real quick last word. Anything you want to add to it? Sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Craig, for having this incredible panel and really for giving us a voice. And Michael, you're going to be the solo guest next time.
Yes.
Yeah. We got to talk about, I've talked about a cultural vision.
Okay.
Cultural vision.
Okay, well, that'll be the topic next show.
So,
cultural
Craig,
vision.
I have a present for you, Tibetan prayer flags for the studio here, because you don't have any prayers in the wind.
Wow. Oh, my God. Okay. Well, fantastic. We'll take care of this right away. Thank you. This is KX93 FM, Laguna Beach's only FM radio. And I want to thank all my guests again. Michael, then we got Tom, we got Kathy, we got Lisa, and we got
George.
And Stacy here on the sidelines rooting us all on. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Laguna Beach's only FM radio and Rainbow Radio. We're going to do this every month until we get it figured out.
Yes.
My house in Budapest, my hidden treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beauty focused EOU. Ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. My acres of a land I've achieved, it may be hard for you to stop and believe, but for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Over you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. And give me one good reason why I should never make a change. And baby, if you owe me, then all of this will go away.
Paparazzi fast, the list goes on. If you just say the words, I'll up and run. Oh, to you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Oh, to you, ooh, ooh, I'd leave it all. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you owe me, then all of this will go away. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you owe me, then all of this will go away.